From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in Kingston, Jamaica, where a teenager joined a dance company. As reported by our WXXI colleague recently, Jeff Spivak, the young man's father was tough. He wanted his son to go into academics. But the teen wanted to dance, and he joined Jamaica's National Dance Theater Company. From there, he danced in Cuba at Cuban President Fidel Castro's 1959 inauguration. And a year later, he found himself in Detroit, where after a short stint studying psychology at Wayne State University, he found his way to the school's dance program. From Detroit, he came to the Rochester area, where he taught a summer dance course at SUNY Brockport, and he never left. While his work is internationally acclaimed, that man is the legendary Garth Fagan. He has deep roots in Rochester. Fagan won a Tony Award for his choreography on the Broadway hit The Lion King. He's choreographed Duke Ellington's only opera, Queenie Pie, which was presented at the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in 1986. He teaches underserved kids in Rochester. On Sunday, Garth Fagan Dance celebrates 50 years of remarkable work. This hour, we talk to Mr. Fagan himself and members of his company who have helped shape Garth Fagan Dance for decades. An honor to welcome Garth Fagan, founder of Garth Fagan Dance, back to the program. How are you, sir?
I am fabulous, and thank you for that beautiful analysis of the years.
Just your life, man.
Of hard work.
Well, this is not, Garth, this is not how anybody expected to be talking and celebrating 50 years. I hope you're hanging in there during this pandemic.
I am hanging in there and staying indoors and wearing masks and celebrating when possible. Kamala Harris's father is from Jamaica.
Yes.
So I'm very proud of her and, of course, Joe Biden. Hallelujah.
William Ferguson is the acting executive director of Garth Fagan Dance. Bill's back with us now. How are you, sir?
Doing very well, Evan, doing very well. Despite the morass of this year, things are moving forward.
Yeah, strange circumstances indeed. Let me welcome Natalie Rogers Cropper, the school director and assistant rehearsal director, with us now. Natalie, welcome. How are you?
Hi there. I am doing great, Evan. Just excited, but also very mindful of what's happening. But we're still 50, and I'm happy about that. So let's get going.
Yeah, absolutely. And Norwood Pennywell as well, who is a rehearsal director for Garth Fagan Dance. Norwood, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Evan. It's always great to hear you. Happy 50th anniversary, Garth Fagan.
There you go.
And Evan, may I add that both PJ, Norwood Pennywell, Steve Humphrey, who's going to join us later, and Sharon Skipper, we are all Bessie Award winners, the highest dance award that you can get. And Garth Fagan Dance is proud of our 5 Bessie Award winners.
Garth, if all I did was read the resume, man, the hour would be over.
while we're on Bessie Award winners, let's not forget that Martin Puryear also won a Bessie Award for set design for Griot, New York. It's a little-known fact.
I love it. Can I ask you, Bill, just briefly, when you think about 50 years, is there any sort of sadness or a feeling of disconnect or almost a lack of justice that really this ought to be a big celebration, a very public and sort of social kind of time here, celebrating 50 years for Garth Fagan, and instead there are so many limitations? How do you feel about that?
Well, the mantra that I've been living by since March is, things work out for the best for those who make the best out of how things work out. So while this isn't quite the 50th year that we started with, you know, we started with Gangbusters with a wonderful performances with the RPO at the Eastman Kodak Hall at the Eastman Theater. And not only was it an artistic success, it was a financial success for the company. And it was looking like we were going to have some wonderful artistic and financial successes this year, but to no avail for a number of reasons. But despite the difficulties nonprofit organizations are experiencing, we are having promising conversations with international and national institutions working towards some wonderful collaborations. Garfagan Dance, for instance, Garfagan Dance and RIT are discussing possibilities for creative collaborations, you know. So in that respect, in some major international organizations, the shining light under the clouds is that this gives us some time to sit back and look at our options, look at all the things that are possible for Garfagan Dance, and really delve in and make some things happen now. You know, I've been told that I open a lot of doors and I don't close any. This has given me time to open some doors, go into the rooms, mm-hmm. visit in the rooms, and make sure that I want to be in there, and that we want to be in there. And so we're moving forward in that regard. So I'm trying to stay with the positive things.
Absolutely. And coming up here, we're going to talk about what happens the second this pandemic's over. But also, as you point out, that doesn't mean that all the work stops. But I do want some things to look forward to. I think the community wants some things to look forward to, and we'll get there as well. And we'll reminisce a little bit as we celebrate 50 years for Garth Fagan. Can I ask all three of you, before I ask Garth this question, what comes to mind first? When you think of Garth Fagan, what is the first either memory or thought that comes to mind? Mr. Ferguson, I'll start with you.
Oh, wow. There's a lot of first memories. I guess the thing that comes to me the most when I think about my beginnings with Garth Fagan Dance and the reason why I stayed was my first international tour with the company was to Sicily, Italy. And I remember performing in Siracusa. They built a stage on a 2,500-year-old amphitheater, and it was outdoors, and the way I remember it was a full moon, and the wind was blowing, and we were doing a dance called traipsing, where we were wearing these 25th-century swimsuits underneath these lovely chiffon overalls, for lack of a better word, and I was smitten and bit, and I said, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. So I think that's one of the most indelible memories that always comes to mind when I think about what Garth Fagan Dance means to me.
And his wife, Nicola DePass, he dated at the time, and they've been married forever.
Yeah, I would not have my two lovely boys and my lovely wife, Nicolette, had I not come to Rochester. And let me just add before I get in trouble at home that the performances in Sicily happened prior to me meeting my lovely wife and her changing my life.
Ooh, lots of stories.
Slick,
there.
Well done. Well done. That was very careful. Well executed.
Thank you, God.
Natalie, is there a first memory and then maybe just a first thought that comes to mind when you think about Garth Fagan?
How long do we have?
As long as you want.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I had been dancing prior to joining Garth Fagan Dance and kind of disillusioned with the dance scene at the time. So when I finally saw Garth Fagan Dance and the light bulb went on, where I saw, well, this is masterwork. This is work of a genius. Who is this guy? Let me get in there. I think the first image was that I had no idea that dance could be so dynamic and so beautiful. I had studied dance my whole life, but this was something that was just out of the park. And then I realized, well, there is hope for dance, the art form, because here it is, the greatest company I'd ever seen, and I'd seen a lot right up to then. I decided this is where I have to be. And like Bill, there was no turning back. There was no question that I was going to sacrifice my life to do this. And the important thing to remember here is that we're not just a dance company. Garth Fagan Dance and Garth himself changed my life. He changed all our lives. And I think that the most important thing is being a dancer in the company, but also being a human being that evolved into something that I could be proud of. And that is the mentorship that we have. And it's so important at this time to know that and to say, you know what, I can now pass it on, which is now my role. And that's a beautiful thing. So thank you, God. And Fagan, and everybody.
You are welcome, my darling. And I remember you coming backstage at that performance wearing 12-inch high heels. So I thought you were much taller than you were. But God, what a talent you are. And your husband and your lovely daughter.
Thank you.
Norwood, same question for you.
Well, My first memory, I would believe, is really based on a kind of magnetism that Garth has and how he imbued his dancers at the time with that same magnetism. But I saw the company in 1977, and about a year later I had an opportunity to come and take class with the company. One of my modern dance teacher at Geneseo State, where I was a music theater major, said that I better go audition for Garth to figure out how to get in that company, or else don't come back to class. So I got the march orders, and I was of course kind of embarrassed to ask anybody in the company when I saw them at for a lecture demonstration at the Eisenhart Center, which is where Garth was showing a Waka Trail in progress. So anyway, jump forward to me getting to company class. I talked to some dancers, and they said, well, you know, we want you to take a few more classes and see how well you pick up movement. And if we think you're good enough, we're going to ask Garth to come check you out, but it looks like you have some potential. So three classes later, Garth comes down. He sees me at the end of class, do our progressions, and then he asked me what I was doing for the summer, and I was intending on going to New York and auditioning. So Garth says, well, I think you should probably just stick around for the summer because your technique is just, you know, not quite as strong as you're going to need for trying to do auditions in New York. So I was able to then sit in on some rehearsals. Then after the second rehearsal, Garth says, let me see you see what you can do with Prelude. So we had one of the dancers teach me Prelude in a night, and I had to show it. So then Garth says, okay, well, come back to rehearsal tomorrow, and let's just see what else you can learn. So fast forward about a month. The company was actually preparing for a performance, my first performance at the Eastman Theater, where Isaiah Jackson was the lead conductor.
Wow.
At the time. And they were going to perform this piece called Salon for a Fashionable Five-Toed Dragon. And I was included in the rehearsals, which I thought was cool. And I thought I was just basically learning how to take a professional rehearsal. So about 3 weeks into learning this piece, the costume designer comes to the studio, and she's taking measurements. So she gets to the end of the list of people she needs to do fittings for, and she says, okay, here's a PJ Pennywell. You're the only one left, so I need to fit you. I'm like, fit you for what? And they were like, well, you're in the piece. I'm like, I'm in the piece? She said, yeah, you're a company member. You know that, right? And I was like, I had no idea, but it was just such a rewarding experience being in that room with Garth and those dancers, and how much they really did everything in their power to do whatever he wanted them to do, because they knew that this was going to be groundbreaking work and it was going to go down in history. So fast forward to 42 years later, I never left. But the thought that I have is, if you need an example of a person that's the hardest working person you've ever met, who is a creative genius and who never sits on his laurels, you don't need to look any further than Garth Fagan. And the fact that he has been able to sustain that intensity for this long, and then to train people to be able to carry his vision on into the next 50 years, I think is just astonishing. And it is sad that we're not able to do a bigger splash for this man's 50th anniversary season with his company. But it is what it is, and we're going to make it work, and we're not going anywhere. So thank you, Garth.
What a story.
You are welcome, sir. Big honor.
What a story. Let me grab a phone call because there's someone named Peter Jemison on the line. Hi, Peter.
Oh, Peter.
Hi. How are you? Great to see you. Great to hear you, Garth, and great to hear you, Evan.
Nice to have you, Peter.
Hear you.
Yes. And, Garth, I just want to extend my congratulations. I love your performances, as you know, and I'm a big supporter of your company and all that you do for the community and all that you do for art, for the art of dance. And I love you, brother.
Yeah, Peter, just mention to people what your job with the Native American community is.
Well, I manage Ganondagan State Historic Site in Victor, New York, and I've been the manager here for almost as long as Garth has been running his dance company, but not quite. 35 years I've been out here.
Wow.
We had a wonderful collaboration with Garth on a Iroquois creation story film, still being shown.
Yay.
Beautiful.
Yay.
Yes. Blessings, blessings.
Beautiful.
And to you, too.
Peter, thank you so much for the phone call, Peter. I appreciate that. Garth, what's it mean to you to hear from so many people around the community, people like Peter Jemison, who are thinking about the relationship they've had with you and the work that you've done?
It just proves that hard work is difficult, but it lasts for a lifetime, and it's passed on to audiences around the globe. We've been on all the continents except Antarctica and performed in all, I can't remember how many companies, Bill can probably tell you, how many countries we have performed in. So that's the blessing. And when the audiences get up and cheer, it's a thank you for giving them a refreshing, uplifting evening and possibly a new vision or look at an old vision. But really, when that heart starts to throb and the blood starts to rush, you know you're seeing something and experiencing something unusual and different.
Garth, can I ask you something before I get back to some of our callers?
Yes.
You know, this year has been so obviously unusual, living through a pandemic. Communities across the country have experienced loss. We've had loss of connection to one another. There's been more isolation. I know, you are always such an upbeat person, and you're frankly one of the most enjoyable conversations we have on this program. But I know you've had some hard times in your own life. What would you say to people who are really struggling, and especially with the winter coming, sort of either scared of the isolation or struggling with loss? Maybe some lessons that you've learned and helped you cope with those kind of issues.
Take a detour. You were going on a straight path, and here comes pandemic and all kinds of dramas. Take a detour, but keep heading in the direction you were going. So ultimately, you achieve your goal, and it's rewarding, especially rewarding.
Is there any sense for you of, are you feeling the up and downs that a lot of people have felt? I mean, any isolation or struggle that you felt this year, Garth?
That I felt to what?
Yeah, during the pandemic, have you felt at all a little bit disconnected at times? Has it been difficult at times for you?
Oh, yeah. It's depressing. And one of my dancers' parents died, our uncle died. And it's painful. Just the statistics are painful, let alone the human beings and human lives attached to those statistics. And people are refusing to wear masks. My God, you know, come on. We have to do better. We have to do better, and we have to support people who are still alive and people who are ill and suffering. We have to. We just have to. And wear your masks.
Let me get back to our phone calls. This is Claudia in Rochester. Go ahead, Claudia.
Well, hello, everybody. And none of you are going to remember me, but you've been in my heart forever, and I'm so glad I'm listening now, and I can just say thank you. I used to take classes back at the EOC in the bucket days, and I was inspired. I did end up wandering off into musical theater dance, but, you know, that happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. But thank you, because you gave me something really important. You really did, not just dancing.
Claudia, what do you remember most about Garth?
Oh, I remember, okay, so I'm in a class, and I'm this, you know, little 24-year-old white girl, and I'm in the class, and I've got an asymmetrical haircut, and I'm a little bit odd-looking, but he paid as much attention to me as he did to anybody who was really, really good. He did. He gave everything. He gave his heart, and he gave it to you right there on a platter. And he cared.
Yes, indeed, Claudia. And you're doing fine?
I am. I am considering everything.
Oh, yeah. And changing your haircuts every 3 weeks.
Claudia, thank you for the reminiscences.
Beautiful memories. Thank you very, very much. Yeah. God bless you all.
I appreciate
all
it.
All the best.
Thank you.
Bill Ferguson, how often does that happen? How often do people who Garth doesn't even remember bring up stories?
Oh, all the time. All the time. Especially now on our social media, we're also catching up, and we also hear people talk about back in 1983 when they were doing the Aesthetic Institute for Teachers, or when we were in Hawaii. People email me all the time to update, give Garth updates about where they were, I mean, where they are at now, because they made such a connection with Garth. Everywhere we go. Yeah, I mean, we've been on 6 continents, 27 countries, 400 cities. Every place we go, somebody comes up to us and says, I remember when, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that I met Garth. And as PJ said, you know, Garth makes an indelible mark on you when he meets you. His ability to communicate his ideas, not only through dance, but through his words and his actions, is really amazing, and one of the things that attracts people to the company is the way that his art communicates. And it communicates to everybody, specific to them, singularly to each human being. And that ability to communicate is the way that we teach. It's the way that we dance. It's the way that everything that we do with Fagan carries us forward.
Talking about 50 years of Garth Fagan dance, 50 years of the company, and just a remarkable level of success over 5 decades, a Rochester and Franklin world icon. Garth Fagan is one of our guests, Bill Ferguson, Natalie Rogers Cropper, Norwood Pennywell, all with us from the company. And Natalie, tell me a little bit about the school. I mean, we talk about sort of updating the community on what's going on and where things are going. Tell us about what's going on with the school.
Yeah, sure. Because we can't have dance, in person, we've constructed virtual classes, and we're sharing them. We've began sharing them on social media, on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel, so that the world can see them. And interestingly enough, people from all over the world would comment, from Germany, from France. They were taking these classes that we were posting. So it's being shared on a larger scale than if we just had classes on a regular basis, just not in person. Then we talked to the Rochester Academy Charter Schools, and they're interested in taking the classes and presenting them to their kids during the school day. So we become part of the curriculum, which is great because they can't sign up. They have to stay there. They have to do it. And it's a lovely way to get them to dance in their rooms, in their houses, and still be part of the school day. So that's where we're going. We have talks with the Rochester City School District. We have talks with the Action for Better Community. And we also would like to target the recreation centers around town. They maybe have a way of presenting the classes virtually to their kids. So that's where the school is. We're a virtual school at the moment. But, you know, we have no choice. But we definitely see the need for kids to be engaged somehow, not just sitting in front of the computer doing their schoolwork or doing nothing. At least this is a way to bring dance to them at 50% of the value. But it's better than none at all.
Yeah. Natalie, are you concerned at all about long-term impacts of this pandemic in terms of participation and connection and interest and the work that you want to see done?
I'm not concerned. I know it's a drawback, but art started, let's see, in 1 BC. art cannot be, it will never die. This is part of the human experience. The artists in us and the artists that will come after us will always take the helm. So even though we're in a lull now in the arts world, the very soul of the artist is what will come through. Even in a pandemic, even whatever happens, it has always been the basis of giving beauty to the human experience. So I'm not worried about kids not having classes for now because I know it's going to pick up. It's just unfortunate. But like everything, it will pass and we will continue and come back as strong as ever because our children need the arts and they need dance in particular to change their lives and help them get through anything that will come their way.
Well, I've got to take our only break for the hour. I just checked the connections email. Wow, we've got a bunch of people who want to share thoughts, memories, and more regarding Garth Fagan and 50 years of Garth Fagan dance here in Rochester. So the whole crew is with us here, including Garth himself. I'll get right back to your emails after we take this, our only break of the hour. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on The Next Connections, COVID-19 transmission is way up across the country. Hospitalizations for people suffering from the virus are at an all-time high. Could we see a second economic shutdown? How are local businesses adapting to the rise in cases with the winter months to come? We talk with three local small business owners. We'll talk about what they need from government and the community on Monday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Let me just start working through the emails. Barry writes to say, Evan tuned in a little bit late. Did you ask Garth about Kamala Harris and Jamaica? Well, Garth mentioned it at the outset, but Barry wanted to hear a little bit more. Garth, what does Kamala Harris's election as vice president mean to the community of Jamaican Americans, of Jamaicans who really maybe are connecting with this and seeing representation? What does it mean?
Immense pride at how bright, smart, and focused she is and will continue to be. I mean, and what an example she is for all our young girls. As you know, I had a daughter who died in her infancy. And when I looked to Ms. Harris, I just celebrate her all over again. And effective. You know, she's not just nice, spicy. No, she has opinions, ideas, and methodology to get her ideas across. And every interview of her that I've heard, it's been, thank you, Jesus.
Yep.
Let me get an email from Lynn who says, Evan, I have many lasting memories of Garth Fagan dance, even back to their former name, Bottom of the Bucket Butt. Two of my favorite moments among so many. The first time I saw Steve Humphries perform a Watka Creek, I remember gasping at the end, an amazing performance. and the sheer mastery of Prelude, which never fails to delight. Now my kids also follow Garth, and my daughter, when she lived in New York, was thrilled to see Garth Fagan dance at the Joyce. Thank you, and happy 50th from Lynn. Thank you, Lynn. Great
Thank
stuff.
You, Lynn.
Thank you, Lynn.
So let me ask all of you. I mean, so I'm sure you connect in different ways with Lynn's comments. I think Norwood was given some affirmation there. What stands out from Lynn's email? What tell me about some of those memories for you.
Well, the whole idea, the whole concept of bottom of the bucket, but I found very interesting because Garth tells a story about how a lot of his contemporaries at the time tried to convince him to use dancers that had, quote, training already. And Garth said, for me to create, and Garth certainly can clarify any mistakes I make, but Garth wanted to create a technique that would be able to be in service of this incredible creative vision. So it was going to be easier to actually train proficient movers in this new technique. So the conceit was, yes, we're at the bottom of the bucket, but, and then the ellipse, ... wait and see where we're going to go. And as you can see, that bottom of the bucket, but, has kind of evolved. So it's just always wonderful for me, and it actually puts a lot of pressure on myself and Natalie and Bill and Steve whenever you hear these people, because the company was so dynamic and they were just so there was an immediacy, there was a very organic nature to it, and then the technique was pristine. So whenever these people talk with us, Garth Fagan Dance members, you know, and they talk about these memories, it's like, uh-oh, so these people really know what this movement really should look like. So, okay, y'all, you know, whenever we hear Garth will come backstage and he's like, okay, so-and-so and so-and-so from 1970 who saw it is out in the audience. So you know what that means, right? So we're like, uh-oh, so we really better be completely focused and just completely in the moment, because these people remember what it was like, and it should not change at all. That's what we're all trying to say here, is that, you know, the ideas, the choreography, the dancers are going to be different. There's going to be different ways we have to approach teaching younger kids than how Garth taught the people in the 70s. But the content should stay the same. The immediacy should stay the same. That idea about the heart racing and the blood surging, that's really got to stay. That really shouldn't change. So it's always beautiful to hear from people from the past. But I just want you to know that puts a little bit of pressure on us, because we got to try and maintain the standards. I think we're doing pretty well.
Amen.
Garth, you want to add to that?
No. He said it most eloquently, and he demonstrates it. And now in his own choreography, he demonstrates it and does wonderful work for us. And we are very proud. And he's happily married to a real angel. And she helps him stay focused.
Yes, she does.
let me go ahead and read an email from Dan, which I think our guests can all build on here, to some of the points that you heard Norwood make in there. He said, first memory. Well, we moved to Rochester in the mid-70s, having become real modern dance lovers while in Chicago in the late 60s. We went to see Bottom of the Bucket Butt at the Xerox Auditorium, knowing nothing about it and not expecting much. It blew our minds, and we have been fans ever since. Even after all these years, Garth and the company have never become stale. Thanks for all these years. From Dan Ross. Thank you, Dan. Let me ask all of you. I'll start with you, Garth. I'm not at all in the position to even assess what stale would look like. I mean, the work that you do is gripping and beautiful. But over 50 years, did you ever think about that? Did you ever think, you know, I want to try something different, or I want to push myself?
Oh, yes. That's what challenges us as artists. Artists in any form, you know, is something different, something unusual. Let's flip this. Let's try this in a different tone, a different hue. are totally brand new color, you know. So that's very important to artists. And I haven't started working physically yet. And when I start working physically, Natalie and PJ will be the first to know. But how to put this pandemic on the stage, what work wow. is going to come out unaffected because of the sadness, the depth of grief that families are finding. And they can't even see their loved ones at the end. They have to be separated. You know, it's really a struggle. This is a struggle, period. But in this pandemic, my God, may the Lord help us. And whatever your Lord is, you know,
yeah.
The God, Jesus, Moses, Muhammad, Buddha, I do not care. A supreme being guides your life. That's the important thing.
William Ferguson, over 50 years, Dan says, never stale, always gripping, always fascinating. How do you do that?
I think what I've found is Garth, whenever he would come up, whenever he would have a new piece for us, what we had to do was be ready. We had to make sure that when we took class, we took the best. We were 100% there every class. When we were at rehearsal, we were 100% at rehearsal. Because when Garth, every year, we used to say, among the dancers, we used to say, you know, you can't look at what Garth did before and expect to see that on the stage the next year. One of the things that Garth can bred into us is the idea of movement invention. Garth, the thing that motivates Garth, I believe, and Garth can, if Garth will let me know if I'm on the right track, is that whenever he does a new dance, he challenges himself, as he says, and he challenges himself not only thematically and not only in terms of the music, not only in terms of the costumes and the sets, if we use sets, because the place that I think he gets his inspiration is coming out with a type of movement that nobody's ever seen before and the message that he expresses through that movement. And it's important for the dancers to have a sense of self and know who they are when you walk into that room. Because when Garth comes into work, you know, he's seen it, it's in his head, and he's ready to go forward. And as the artist's medium, you have to be malleable, and you have to be able to be what he sees without seeing it. There was a Clint Eastwood movie a couple years ago where he was a TI and a Marine sergeant, and he had this group of guys, and he'd walk into the barracks every morning, and he'd have on a different T-shirt. And then if the guys didn't have on the right T-shirt, they had to do 3,000 push-ups or 150 sit-ups or whatever. And they said, well, how are we going to figure out? And he said, you have to adapt, overcome, figure it out. You can find a way to know what I'm going to do. And it was more about being prepared than knowing exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the beautiful things about, for me, while I enjoy dancing, I mean, I enjoy doing From Before. I enjoy watching PJ doing Passion Distance. I mean, PJ dancing an 11-minute solo that Garth created for him, of which he won the Bessie for. It's totally amazing. The number of the level, the dimensions of intellect that it took to create that work for Garth, and the dimensions of intellect and technique that it took for PJ to be Garth's artist medium in that. All of those things, every time you see something like that as a dancer, you're like, wow. You're inspired again, and you want to do more, and you want to do more. And I'm trying to transfer that feeling, that energy, that need for creativity and sense of self into a support, an administration that will support the artistic endeavors of Garth and whatever the Garth Fagan Dance is going to be for the next 50 years.
PJ, you want to add to that?
Yeah, the...
I would have to reiterate the fact that Garth is the hardest working person you know. So, mm-hmm. Whenever Garth is creating, you can't talk to Garth on the phone. Garth is not going to answer his phone because he is deep in the shed, as they would say in jazz music, making sure that all of the elements that Bill said encompasses the choreography, especially the movement invention, but particularly so that he is not repeating himself. And so to be able to go into the shed and completely isolate yourself, and to allow that kind of solitude so that you can cleanse whatever it was you did the year before, and then allow these creative impulses to come in, and you know the first impulses are going to be what you want to do, and so then you have to be able to excise that and say, wait a minute, I need to come up with something new that is going to challenge me as a choreographer, but it also has to have my signature look, or else you're just kind of, you know, putting steps together for the sake of putting steps together. So that's the genius, is to be able to maintain the signature look of the company while also making sure that you're not repeating yourself. You know, that to me is what prevents the staleness from coming in. And then, like Bill said, you really have to be ready for that, you know, because when Garth comes in, he can't really have in the room any kind of resistance or any kind of, oh my God, I don't think I'll be able to do it. You really gotta be cool with the fact that you're just gonna try it, and if you don't do it, you didn't do it. You gotta keep moving forward. You know, the minute the ego comes into play, that's where Garth will shut down with you creatively in terms of this interaction. But if he sees that you're trying to just do whatever, then he musters up some patience and he says, okay, I see you're working on it. I see it's gonna come. You know, but that's what the room has to be that way. So the staleness, that's the thing that I really just marvel at, is the fact that you know, somebody like Dan is going to see Garth from the 70s and then has been continually watching him. For us insiders, we get it, you know, but we don't necessarily know that the public gets it. But to hear Dan say that he's really getting just how difficult it is to come up with creative expressions for 50 years while maintaining this company look, it's just phenomenal, Garth. You're just too much, man.
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing to add. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister.
One more thing to add here is that part of what makes Garth's work always engaging is that he's plugged into the now. Garth is not trying to address 1959 or the 60s, or he is always engaged, and he asks us to be engaged in what's happening in the world right now. And he sees the trends of the arts, he sees young people, he sees what they're doing, he sees a lot of it. And that's what makes him come up with the ideas, come up with the need to have a piece done, because he's not back there in the 70s. He's doing it for now. So it will always be fresh. Whatever's happening, COVID is happening now, Garth is thinking about it. PJ's thinking. PJ's choreographing now. He's in the now as well. And this is what is exciting for dancers, that they can actually dance in something that is relates to them. And therefore it relates to the public that's out there time and time again. This is so important. And I really have been watching this for years and marveling that God has this kind of energy to be plugged into the world in this way, good and bad, you know, and to bring forth an artistic vision every single time. It's remarkable.
Let me read a little bit more from listeners. Greg says, Greg emails to say, so glad for Garth, a great asset to Rochester, a wonderful artist and leader in our community. So glad to have worked with him at the beginning of my dance musician life. Peace and love to all the dancers and to Garth. Paula says, thank you for having Garth on the show today. I was one of the bottom of the bucket butt dance theater members. Garth is a constant source of inspiration and brilliance. I am no longer in the company, but I've really never left. They are my family for life. Andrew says, Mufasa, stay positive. And Leslie says, can you please have Garth repeat whatever his wonderful mantra is? Did I miss it? It's something like, everything will work out best for those who best work out how to deal with it. Something like that. Garth, can you help Leslie there?
Yes, is that you have to have confidence in what you're doing and create alternative methods to get to where your original idea or design was, because all kinds of stuff will come up to interfere and detour you, you know. But you have to come back to the source, which is you, to create, recreate, redesign, reinvent, reshape, recolor, retint to get whatever it is that you're after.
Well, maybe I'll give all of you about a minute here as we get ready to wrap and celebrate 50 years of Garth Fagan dance in this community. Let me ask Bill Ferguson first here. What are you most looking forward to with the company in the future? And whether that means short or long term here, about a minute each here, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Garth Fagan Dance being a place that dancers can have a salary year-round, with medical and dental and all of their benefits taken care of, a place so that when they know that when they come to work, they're taken care of so that they can concentrate completely on their work and concentrate on work that's going to be, that looks to the future, stands on the past and looks to the future. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, that's fair enough. Natalie Rogers Cropper, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to tackling the dancers in the company and making sure that this technique is the way that it should have been, should be at all times. I'm the teacher, so I'm going to really go for that one. And also to ensure that the works, new and old, are maintained at the highest standard possible. And that is absolutely what I am excited to do and continue doing for as long as possible.
All right. Norwood Pennywell.
Yes, and speaking of the creative process, I am really looking forward to, of course, everything that Bill and Natalie mentioned, and, of course, how Garth's going to wrap it up. But we also have a wonderful plan in place to have a collaboration, a lovely collaboration between Garth Fagan Dance and two Eastman, small Eastman ensembles, not necessarily so small, but the percussion studio ensemble and the Eastman saxophone project. So this is something that the public is really going to very much love, and it's going to bring a nice cross-section of people together between the Eastman, you know, fans and the Fagan fans, and I'm sure there's some overlap in both, but I'm really looking forward to that. I can't wait to get involved with that, with Garth. So there's that.
There you go. Garth Fagan, what are you looking forward to?
Wonderful, illuminated, uplifting, invigorating, questioning, answering dance movement and dance creation for my wonderful audiences that get babysitters, travel for miles, catch flights, drive to see our performances, and for dancers of the integrity of all my dancers. Oh, my God, my two wonderful dancers from Louisiana. Oh, my dear. These are young yep. people. But, my God, they can dance. And that's what I'm looking for. And, of course, the health and the wealth that Bill is talking about of doing it and achieving it.
Well, Garth, since I've got about 60 seconds, I'm just going to ask you, you've heard them all say what they think about when they think of you. How do you want people to think about you? What are the qualities that you hope this community thinks about when it thinks about Garth Fagan?
That I am an investigative, trying hard to create art. Art that will outlive me and you, Evan, and everyone, but will uplift them and heal the wounds that human beings suffer and go through.
That's a cinch. That's a cinch. That's a done deal. Garth, I'll tell you, when I think of you, I think about just how easy you are to talk to when so many people who have your status that I have talked to are not as easy to talk to. You are a truly loving, caring person. And it is just so wonderful to talk to a whole company of folks who work so hard but aren't afraid to say I love you and lift people up. And it just matters. I mean, this year especially, it matters. Garth Fagan, congratulations on 50 years for Garth Fagan Dance. Here, here.
Actual birthday is 2 days from today on the 15th of November. We are a Scorpio company.
Yay.
And I can't sing, that's why I went into dance.
What a hell of a way to end the week here. Garth, Bill, Natalie, PJ, thank you so much for the work you do. Much love.
Thank you, Evan. Bye.
Wonderful. That's the great team of Garth Fagan Dance, and you know they still have so much great work ahead. Rob Braden's the engineer, Megan Max the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Hope you're feeling the love this weekend. We will talk with you Monday on member-supported public radio.